Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning back in with us while we break down the top stories in fashion industry news. Please support the podcast by subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic. And please be sure to leave a comment. It doesn't matter to us whether it's good or bad. Tell us what you like or don't like about the show and how we can make it better for you. This helps build our algorithm so that our show will be easier to find on iTunes. Please also like our Facebook page at facebook.com/finradioshow. Don't forget the show part. That's facebook.com/finradioshow. You can also find us on Twitter at @fin_radio. On today's show, we'll discuss mixed gender fashion shows. Alexander Wang teams up with iTunes on a brand new collaboration. Zappos #I'mNotABox campaign. We'll discuss a recap of Vice's new hit docuseries, States of Undressed, Venezuela. We discuss why Chinese consumers are embracing New Balance's Made in the USA label. All this and more, stay tuned.
Thank you for tuning in to Fin Radio, the most listened to fashion news podcast in the world. Introducing your hosts, Jennifer Marie and Lindsay B. Take it away, girls.
What was your first job?
I worked at a bakery that my friend's dad owned.
Popeye's Chicken and Biscuit.
They both worked at food places.
Yes.
Which is normal.
But a bakery is a lot nicer.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
I worked the drive-thru until 3 a.m. while I was 15, and my manager was a midget. A little person. Sorry, my apologies. And she was cool as hell, and she just let me. I wanted to work. Like, I just wanted so much money. And she
like Rihanna? Like,
basically. Now I want to listen to this.
But I'm surprised that they let you work that late at night. You'd think there'd be, like, restrictions. Maybe there was, and they didn't follow it for you.
That's very possible. But I worked on a very, like, ghetto corner area where prostitutes hung out. And
did they eat Popeyes?
Between one, yes they did. And between 1 and 3 in the morning, they would walk up through the drive-thru instead of a car. They would, because we would lock the outside doors at 11, and they would walk through the drive-thru.
And you would serve them?
Every time.
That's funny.
Hardworking woman, I respect that.
Yeah, I never had people like that. It was just like older men drinking coffee and stuff.
So we know that fashion and music sort of intertwine. They go hand in hand, and I think I probably love fashion as much as I love music. I want to talk a little bit about Alexander Wang and iTunes. Alexander Wang is actually iTunes' first fashion curator, which I think is pretty exciting. I read an article on Vogue.com that discusses how the designer's evident love of music has gotten him a very special playlist on iTunes. So fashion shows have always been interesting to me when it comes to Alexander Wang, just because he always has top names in the music industry at his shows, like front row and center. People like Mary J. Blige, Lady Gaga. So he has this amazing reputation for throwing these crazy after parties after New York Fashion Week and after the fashion shows. And it's sort of known in the industry. His music selections are so interesting in terms of like the vibe that his fashion shows give people. So while the models are like strutting down the runway, Alexander Wang is known for his music selection because it's always upbeat, interesting, and sort of gives this vibe that people explain this energy within his fashion shows that unfortunately I've never been able to experience, but I hear is really cool and exciting. His last show actually opened with Biggie's Going Back to Cali song, which is pretty funny. I don't know if you remember, but Back from the Life After Death album. And I think that I relate to Alexander Wang so much because he was born in 1983. I was born in 84. And he had that obsession, and he talks about it in interviews with 90s rap. And I had the same obsession with it. Like, the whole hip-hop scene in the 90s was, like, my thing. So it's pretty hilarious to read his articles and interviews when it comes to music, because I can so relate to it. So the platform features 3 playlists curated by Alexander Wang. They are called Chill, Hype, and Vibe. And what's nice is he'll continue to add to his playlist on iTunes, and you can create your own Alexander Wang playlist based on the songs that you like best. So you can stay up to date with what the designer is listening to, which I think is pretty sweet. If you're interested in this, you can check it out on Apple Music.
Do you use Apple Music or do you use iTunes?
Apple Music.
Like you subscribe to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Pandora then, where like they curate playlists and you listen to like specific songs, and it's collaborated by like a brand or like a movie or whatever. It sounds like it's similar to that, but they're doing it cooler with like a designer.
Yeah, it's so much cooler. And I don't know if it's just, I don't know, I feel connected to him. I'm like, oh my God, this is what Alexander Wang picked out for me to listen to. I don't know, it's weird and it's dorky, but I think it's cool.
It is cool. So I've been feeling kind of melancholy this week, and
Just a little bit.
Zappos almost made me cry, which is a sentence I never thought I would say. So not because they didn't send me a pair of shoes, but because they developed a new ad campaign relating back to the box your shoes are shipped in. A Zappos in-house designer added printed outlines onto the shipping box for things like a geometric planter or a child's shoe sizer and a smartphone holder. The idea is that they want people to think outside the box, and by that they mean not only the physical box that your shoes come in, but in life in general. The box itself is part of a larger campaign called #I'mNotABox, which sounds funny but has some good meaning behind it. It has a pay it forward feel, and Zappos really wants us to make the world a better place. So, as I said at the beginning, they almost made me cry with a campaign commercial for #I'mNotABox, which features a little boy repurposing his mother's Zappos shipping boxes, among other things, for a good purpose. So, spoiler alert for those of you who want to go watch it on your own, but for those of you who don't, he ends up making a small home out of the boxes and other household materials, featuring a planter and a mailbox for a homeless man. It's really endearing, and I suggest you check it out. I'll post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/finradioshow, and you can find out more information about the campaign at imnotabox.com. So I just want to know, Jennifer, what you think, because it's just kind of, it's out of the box idea, right?
At first, I thought that, like, I didn't quite get the concept. I'm thinking Zappos, #out of the box, this whole video campaign of a boy who sees a homeless man, like you said, and he builds him a bigger, nicer box to live in. Like, what is happening? Honestly, it didn't click to me, the concept, in terms of the shoes, the fashion, the box that you get, and why we're watching this video, until I seen the picture of the box with all of the writings on the inside. And it really is this whole sort of like think outside of the box mentality, where obviously you get your shoes anytime you order shoes from anybody, not just Zappos. It comes in a box and you don't really think anything further than that of the box. But really what they're sort of saying is thinking out of the box is this concept of just doing something bigger and greater. In general, it almost seems like in life.
Yeah, they want you to start with doing that with a physical box and then start doing that with your life, like being a good person to other people, and like just a whole overarching message, which is a little confusing at first.
It's a little bit of a reach, but I encourage everybody to watch the video, see the box, and I think that it'll come to you, and I think it's overall like it's actually a really good message.
Yeah.
So on the last episode of Fin Radio, we discussed States of Undress. States of Undress is Vice's new hit investigative docuseries. It is on Vice's TV channel, Viceland. So if you're interested, just Google Vice or Viceland and States of Undress. It's a series of episodes that I think you guys would be really interested to watch. Like I said, on the last show, I discussed China. I don't know if that rings a bell, but on this episode, I want to discuss Venezuela. And it's actually an older episode. I think it might be episode 3. I think they have a total of 6 episodes in this first season out so far. And it's so interesting. It will blow your mind. Like, every time I watch one of these docuseries episodes, I just sit there and I'm like, okay, this girl, Haley Gates, which is the host, went to this country to learn about fashion. And she ends up learning so much more just about the culture and the economic status of, like, what's going on in the country and how that affects fashion, that it sort of like baffles you, like, once you're watching the show. So I encourage you guys to watch it. But let's discuss what was on this episode. So, like I said, I caught the Venezuela episode sort of just by chance. I didn't realize it was episode 2 or 3. And it was super interesting. As soon as she jumps on and starts talking about Venezuela, right away she jumps into how Venezuela is known for producing the most beautiful women in the world. Right away, I was just kind of like, okay, we know Spanish girls are pretty. Like, okay, I got it. You didn't need to come out starting the episode like that. But she has something to back that up. Like, quite literally, Venezuela is known for having the most beautiful women in the world. They have won more Miss Universe pageants than any other country. They've won more international crowns than any other country. In total, to kind of sum it up, they have 7 Miss Universe crowns, 6 Miss Worlds, and 7 Miss Internationals, which is huge for anyone working in that industry. It's huge. But on the downside, and what makes this whole story interesting, is Venezuela is experiencing a flatlining economy and skyrocketing crime rates. They're in the middle of an economic crisis. While they're in the middle of this crisis, economic crisis in their country, where people are waiting in line for the basic necessities of life. All in all, you still have more easier access to fashion and things to make you beautiful than you do bread and milk in Venezuela. 1 in 5 people get plastic surgery, which I think is an insane number for 1 in 5 people to have had plastic surgery. I don't think I know 1 in 40 people that have had plastic surgery here in the States.
So that you know of.
That I know of, right?
But that's the thing, too, that they were saying that there, it's no big deal. Like, here, it's, like, a little more taboo, and, like, some people will tell you that they got it, but it's, like, a bigger deal to get it here. And, like, there, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to get my plastic surgery.
Yeah, it's, like, emphasized, encouraged, and looked upon as something awesome if, like, you're going to get plastic surgery or doing anything to make yourself look better. As a matter of fact, they have this sort of quote or saying in Venezuela, they say is better dead than ordinary. So that's how much, like, emphasis they have on your physical appearance, that you're better off dead than ordinary. Another thing that's really interesting in this episode is the mannequins. So when we're walking down the street, we see our mannequins and they all pretty much look the same. They're like a size 2 or 0 and, you know, no hips or anything like that. In Venezuela, the mannequins they all look like Kim Kardashians. They have tiny little waists, huge butts, huge boobs. It's interesting and weird, but it sort of plays on how they want the women to look like these glamazons. I want to also discuss how the plastic surgery is different. The term biopolymers kept coming up over and over in the episode, and they started talking about breast implants, for example. Breast implants here in the United States, I don't think you could really get them cheaper than like $5,000. Well, in Venezuela, you can get them as cheap as $200. So, like, all the women have breast implants using biopolymers, and apparently this is, like, an unhealthy way of going about plastic surgery. In one part of the show, they actually had the host, Haley Gates, go with a guy to get his nose job done, and they didn't even put the guy under. They just went in and did the nose job, and the guy was awake, and it was bizarre, and the surgeon actually playfully handed the host the scissors jokingly. Like, do you wanna do this? Like, as a joke, because he knew she was filming, and she just kind of like looked at the camera and was like, this is insane. So it's just definitely worth a watch. It's so insane. There's this overall pressure in Venezuela to be beautiful. And like I said, it's due to the Miss Venezuela contest and the constant winning of the Miss Universe pageants, and this emphasis of being beautiful is super important to these women. And plastic surgery, like I said, is extremely informal. So the average woman in Venezuela makes $400 a year, which kind of blew my mind too, because I'm like, okay, well, 1 in 5 people get plastic surgery and you can barely get, you know, bread and butter on a daily basis. The average woman will spend 20% of her income on beauty-related products, and she's only making $400 to $500 a year.
It just sounds sad to me. Like, a terrible economy, a huge focus on vanity. Not only that, like, the way that they're going about getting it is just super detrimental to their health. It just sounds like a huge disaster.
It appears to be a huge disaster. There was one part in the episode where the host, she was filming and she was like in the bathroom and she just was like, you know, I really usually wouldn't film this, but I have my period and I cannot get a tampon or a pad anywhere.
So what do? They just don't.
There was a black market and she had to illegally buy pads from someone. And she ended up paying, I think she used the word quadruple.
Why don't they use those, like, menstrual cup things? Like, maybe it's not available there, but I feel like that'd be so much cheaper. Yeah, it's like this cup that you insert, and it collects the blood, and then you take it out and dump it. Sorry, everyone, that's gross if you haven't heard of it. It's a lot cheaper than, like, something disposable.
So if you guys are interested in checking out this episode or any of the episodes on Vice's docuseries, States of Undress, you can check it out on Viceland.com.
This next story, I'll start off with China. We talked about China's Fashion Week on the last episode and their desire to have more Chinese designs be part of the mainstream. This story from NPR is about the Chinese consumer embracing the Made in USA label, specifically the one found in some New Balance shoes made in Maine. Apparently, Chinese consumers feel the shoes made in the US have a higher quality than the ones made, you guessed it, in China. So Americans are buying New Balance shoes made in China because they're cheaper, and Chinese people are buying shoes made in America because they're better quality. What the fuck?
That took me a minute to process.
We're just sending shoes back and forth overseas, which just, like, makes me angry, to be honest. NPR wrote that John Frisby of the U.S.-China Business Council says that perception of quality is part of what's driving the demand for exports to China. And it's not just shoes. He is quoted as saying, "It's been the fastest growing market for American exports since China joined the WTO, which is the World Trade Organization, in 2001. So U.S. exports to China, we're talking manufactured goods, we're talking agricultural products, services, U.S. exports to China have grown over 600% in the last 15 years. Hopefully Americans catch on that quality goods are right here in their backyard, and we should be willing to pay a bit more to support our own economy, neighbors, and the environment through decreases in wasteful shipping across seas." And then I found something else about New Balance. So not only are they doing this where they're promoting their Made in America over in China, and I cross my fingers that they start promoting it here too, New Balance has been teaming up with brands like Saucony to lobby the U.S. government because they want to pass a bill that would require the military personnel in America to purchase athletic shoes made in the U.S., which sounds like, well, aren't they already? Like, you would assume they are, but they're not. So most goods provided to the military are already under what's called the Berry Amendment from 1941, which does require military goods to be made in the USA. However, athletic shoes have been exempt because there wasn't a large manufacturer in the US many years back. Currently, the Pentagon gives out vouchers for $15 million for athletic shoes, and New Balance is lobbying to change the law so that they get those benefits. You know, they get the money from those vouchers. There is some pushback saying that they would essentially monopolize the market share for military athletic shoes, but New Balance says this is just not true because there are other brands like Saucony that I said that they partnered with to try to lobby. But I just think it's a great idea. Like, we want more made in the USA. It'll help our economy. It's good for our military to be supporting, like, US businesses. And I just love the idea of, like, expanding more made in the USA.
I'm totally obsessed with made in the USA. I really wish I could afford to buy all of my clothes made in the US.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I mean, I can't, but I think that this whole initiative is amazing and it's super encouraging.
It's a step in the right direction, I think.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys, that'll do it for this week's episode of Finn Radio. Thank you for your continual support, and be sure to tune back in next time for an all-new episode.